Hosanna, save us, Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In the name of Jesus, Hosanna, which at its most simple meaning is save us, Lord. So what would you have God save you from? What evil or wicked person or thing is confronting you right now in your life? What causes you perhaps to be afraid? What is the territory that you have staked out that you need God to stand for you and protect? You see, save us, Lord, and especially the phrase, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, implies that you have faith in one who will do just that. And so it behooves you to think about what this one is going to do for you. Blessed is he. What does it mean to be blessed? It's a phrase that I think all of us throw around quite a bit, wouldn't you agree? People ask me how I'm doing, how my family is, and my response often enough is, I'm blessed, right? That's not such a bad thing, but what do we mean by blessed? There are a couple of words for blessing, both in Hebrew and in Greek, but there are only two real meanings that occur all the way through Scripture for blessed or blessing. One is that which is spoken or enacted by God, the only God, the one true God, that which he says, that which he does. You can think of an example of this. Most of you in your baptism, whether as an infant child or even as an adult, were marked by Christ the crucified, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed. God not only spoke his word over you, claimed you, wrote your name down in the book of life, as Scripture says, but now did something to you, gave you a robe of Christ's righteousness, gave you even faith itself. The second way is that which God now does through men, as in, you're a real blessing to me. Have you ever said that to someone? That's a good thing. Someone who you recognize has done now a good work that you're on the receiving end of. And you say, thanks be to God, I'm blessed because of you. But the blessing you're saying in faith really doesn't come from them, does it? It's from God through them. At least that's what it should mean. So blessing. How is it that we are blessed through Christ? Why in the world, as we begin almost every Advent season, do we have this text where we've got Jesus not as a baby, not as an embryo, not as any of these things, but rather as a full-grown man entering Jerusalem now in glory? Why this text to begin the Advent season? I'll give you a little hint. It has everything to do with blessed and blessing. You see, when the crowds lined the streets of Jerusalem, they were welcoming a conquering Lord. This is what people did in the Mideast at the time. After their city and their armies had been subdued in battle, they would welcome the new conqueror with open arms. And you know why they would do that? Do you know why they would greet now the new king, the new conqueror there at the gates in such a way? Simple. They were hoping to be spared. You see, the conqueror, the conquering Lord, might order everyone in the city put to death for resisting him. Have you ever heard the word decimate? Used it perhaps before? Although I don't know if I've ever used it. I'm not sure. I could say to my sons when they screw up, I'm going to decimate you. But what does that mean? A conqueror might come into a city and he would line up the men of the city and he would count off nine. One, two, three, four, you get the idea, till he got to nine. And then the tenth man was taken out of line and killed, right? Off with his head. The city was decimated, that is, the population reduced by one tenth. That's where the word comes from. And so the people had good reason now to line the streets and now to literally sue for mercy, to beg for mercy from a conqueror. And this is what they were doing with Jesus. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. He comes and bears God's power and might, and he can put us to death. Now, very soon here in the divine service, we'll sing what's known as the Sanctus, which simply means holy. Holy, 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 we sing. And then we raise our voices with those of the Jews in Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday when they sang, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. You see, we join our voices with theirs in one of the most ancient songs of the church, and we implore God to be merciful to us. Blessed is he. This means that Jesus is the one anointed by God the Father. He is the coming prophet, priest, and king, and him alone. But why should he? I mean, when you stop to think about it, why should God be merciful to you and to me? Why shouldn't we be the 10th man that's pulled out and killed? I mean, what have we really ever done for him? We use the term blessed and blessing, we throw it around, but we often make no reference or have no meaning to God. And how is it that we consider ourselves blessed if we reject God's spoken word, fail to hear, to study, and to receive it, find other things that are more important, or even as many do, reject those whom God has appointed to give such a word? Regardless, in many and various ways, all of us resist God at some turn. We hold our lives as our own sacred property. It's my choice. It's our own city. It's our own stronghold. And, well, it's our stubborn resistance to Almighty God that ended up costing him his only begotten Son. You see, we think our lives are our own to do with as our please. We think that blessings and blessedness comes from what we make out of life. And with such an attitude, you and I ultimately are the ones who brought about Jesus' death upon the cross. But yet Jesus, your Lord, humbly rides there into Jerusalem. He rides in victory, and he's praised, and he's cheered as the conquering and saving Lord. But less than a week later, what happens? The crowds cheer in an opposite manner. And Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the one who is truly blessed, is crucified on a hillside outside of Jerusalem. But you see, this tells us everything now, and this is why we begin Advent in this way. It tells us of how the conquering Lord really conquers. The Lord Jesus did not charge headlong into battle. He was not swinging a sword. He wasn't mounted on a mighty charger. He wasn't bringing blood, death, and defeat to all his enemies. He wasn't singling out the 10th man and putting him down. You see, Jesus conquered death, Satan, and hell by being whipped, by being beaten, abused, mistreated, lied about, and ultimately nailed to a cross there for you. Jesus defeated death by literally dying. Jesus defeated death by himself being decimated for you. So Jesus' mercy and his glory are shown chiefly in this, that while we are yet sinners who define blessings and blessedness in our own ways and fail to look to the author of such things, Jesus died for us. You see, the glory of God radiates from the hideous and sometimes hidden cross. God's glory is in his mercy, and that God gave his only Son to suffer and die now for you and your sins. And that's why Jesus' birth is so important. Jesus was born in very humble circumstances. He lived in very humble circumstances. And he did these things so that ultimately he could die in a poor and wretched state, in agony and humility, and this he did. He shows his mercy in this. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You might notice during the same part of the divine service, during the singing of the Sanctus, that some pastors and church members and traditions are vary as you travel, not only around the United States, but around the world, will bow their heads or make the sign of the cross when these words are sung. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they do that simply for good reason. The king has arrived. He is here now. And while he could put me to death, he has the power and authority to do so. Instead, he offers up his body and blood for me, for forgiveness for my sins. See, salvation is a serious matter. And so we should be careful how we use the words blessed and blessing. and make sure our faith is rooted where it needs to be. This is why St. Paul writes in our epistle text, and I talked about this the last couple of weeks, you know, the little kids that sneak up in your bed in the middle of the night and go, wake up. St. Paul says the same. Wake up. Wake up from your sleep. Wake up from your death. Because in Christ we are dead to sin and our trespasses. There is nothing in us that is good or righteous, no blessing or blessedness on our own, but by holding on to Him, we have His righteousness. We receive all that He gives in baptism, in His word that is read, that is preached, and given into our very mouths. And so we pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. We take now the blessedness we have received and we serve now our neighbor, those around us. We do good works, not because we're going to earn righteousness by them, but because our neighbor sorely needs them and God has given us opportunity and gifts to do so. As such, Christmas is fast approaching. And how can we ignore the mercy of Almighty God when we're reminded again and again that Jesus was born into our flesh to do just this, to give of Himself completely for us? And so it's not an accident that we read this same gospel text on Palm Sunday to also begin Holy Week, the exact same gospel. It's not an accident that we read it now on the first Sunday in Advent as we prepare for Christ's coming at Christmas. Nor is it an accident that Jesus sent disciples to bring Him the donkey. Jesus' disciples easily provide the opportunity for Jesus to appear in humility. And like those disciples, we convey the Lord Jesus in humility, within ourselves, within vessels. See, no matter how hard we try, we can't make Jesus more glorious, because Jesus' glory is in His humility. Therein lies the heart of all blessings. If our lives are the image of Christ, then Jesus indeed appears before the world in humility. And in our sinful human flesh and blood, we seek to bring glory to Jesus Christ in ways that He does not command. We wish to give Jesus earthly glory. We want faith to mean an easy life. We want Jesus to be a magnificent king mounted on a splendid charger who wipes out and destroys evil with the wave of His mighty scepter. But instead, we find the true meaning of blessing and blessedness at Jesus' word. And at His word, His disciples bring Him a donkey and her colt. And Jesus rides upon this humble beast into the midst of a madly cheering crowd, a madly misunderstanding crowd, that in a few days will scream for His bloody death. And so rather than destroy rebellious and wicked sinners, Jesus humbly dies for them. He dies for you. You are blessed now through all He is and all that He has done. And He comes to us in the humility of the manger, and He dies for us in the humility of the cross. So yes, Hosanna. Save us, Lord. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In the name of Jesus. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.